This is the second time Tokyo has hosted the Summer Olympics. The first was in 1964.
The Games marked a special milestone for the Japanese people, as Tokyo had been selected as the host for the 1940 Games, but due to World War II, they had to be cancelled. To remark the country's recovery, a special torch bearer was chosen to light the cauldron. Sakai Yoshinori was a Japanese athlete born in Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, the same day the atomic bomb fell.
After that emotional opening ceremony, Japanese women's volleyball team won gold in the final against the Soviet Union, and that was just one of the game's highlights. Roy Tomizawa is the author of 1964, The Greatest Year in the History of Japan, How the Tokyo Olympics Symbolized Japan's Miraculous Rise from the Ashes, and he joins us from Tokyo. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Celeste.
I was interested to hear that there was no book on the 1964 Olympics. I mean, there are books about every single Olympics since they started holding them, and that when you went to go find a book to read about them, you couldn't. Any thoughts as to why?
I was quite lucky, but I suppose part of it is that anything dealing in the Japanese language is going to be a challenge for researchers and, having to conduct all the interviews in Japanese, for example. But you know what? They could have translated properly books written in Japanese into English. I guess perhaps the interest in sports books is not as great as I would like. But on the other hand, I was quite fortunate that that was material not covered. So I could go with eyes wide open.
So I want to go back to that moment in history and give people some historical context. The Beatles played the Ed Sullivan Show in February of 64. The World's Fair was in New York that year. The U.S. was at war in Vietnam. The Civil Rights Act was signed into law. Muhammad Ali was the heavyweight champion of the world. How big a deal, in light of all these other major things going on, how big a deal was the Olympics worldwide?
I think it was a huge thing. I mean, there was a lot of noise, and even things that you didn't mention. There was the Warren Commission came out on the Kennedy assassination, and there was a three-man Soviet spaceship that went around the world during the Olympic Games, and Khrushchev actually stepped down during the Games. There was an A-bomb that China went off, that China exploded during the Games. But, you know, people during the Olympics were focused on the sports, so the athletes certainly, they didn't really notice the geopolitical movements going around the world. And perhaps it was a soft spot in the geopolitical rumblings. If the Tokyo had hosted the Games in 68 or 72, they probably would not have been able to organize such a smoothly run Games.
So we heard that clip about the opening ceremonies, and a man who was born on the very day that Hiroshima was bombed lit the Olympic cauldron. Your argument is that the 64 Olympics represented a rebirth for Japan, that this was sort of a mile marker of all that went before and all that came after. What do you mean?
It's really just hard to believe in terms of numbers, 19 years after the end of the war. And those who've read books on the history of Japan, and particularly the bombings of Tokyo, will remember pictures of cities in rubbles, particularly Tokyo. So if you look at those pictures and you say, okay, 19 years later, you're going to hold arguably the most logistically complex operations, peacetime operations that you could possibly do in the 20th century, 19 years later, I think most people would laugh at you. It would be the equivalent of Dresden trying to hold the Games in 1964 as well. So the challenge was phenomenally great. I mean, Japan was devastated. In some ways, it was a pariah. So getting to the Games and then running a fantastic one, according to all the visitors, that achievement was unprecedented. The first Asian Olympics. And the Japanese were praised the world over for their efficiency, modernity, and friendliness. And I think the most important thing was that the consensus in Japan, from government to corporation to student, all the way down the line, it was universal. Everyone wanted the Olympics to succeed. And that's why it was such a watershed moment in Japanese history.
And the bullet trains began to run as the Games opened. I mean, it sounds like there is a lot of consensus and people working together, but logistically speaking, how did they pull it off?
I guess the biggest reason, there was this huge momentum from the economy, what we call the Japanese economic miracle. Japan had found its strength in the export markets, and the Japanese were at a moment of great innovation and creativity. You know, necessity is the mother of invention, as they say. And so tremendous creativity and innovation in the 1950s and 1960s, particularly in the major manufacturing industries like automobiles and electronics, for example. So the whole country was humming, and everyone was working hard to get the country back on its feet. And so when the Olympics came around, it was actually a time to breathe and pat themselves on the back. I think they were all amazed at what they had accomplished at that point.
Now, you have a personal connection to the 64 Olympics in Tokyo. Your father worked as an editor for NBC during those games. What did he say about the Olympic Games of 64?
I wish I'd asked more. He passed away before I could ask him questions when I was writing the book. But, you know, of course, he had brought back all sorts of memorabilia from those games, coins and patches and things of that nature. And I do remember him talking about the Japanese women's volleyball team, about the training that they underwent so that they could be as good as they were. But we're a family of sports fans as well, so you know we just love sports. And NBC, when he was working for NBC and they had regained the contract to broadcast, I was hoping secretly one day that I can get on some sort of NBC team to help out, but that never happened.
In research for this book, you ended up interviewing some 70 athletes from 16 different countries, as I understand. What surprised you? What did you hear that came as a surprise?
I don't think there were surprises as such, but they had endless anecdotes and stories of those days. And to me, it was just such a revelation to hear about how they thought about Japan. I felt honored to be able to hear their stories and to play them back in the book. It was always my dream while I was writing the book that when we had Tokyo 2020, that they would come visit during the Olympics and we would grab tickets for their event in 64 and watch it together and just have a grand old time. And of course, that never came to be. So,
I mean, it's a little bit sad that the Tokyo is again having the Olympics after a worldwide tragedy, right? I mean, the Tokyo Olympics today are coming after a global pandemic. And I wonder what you think of the games that are happening right now. We know that fans aren't allowed in, so, you know, there's nobody cheering in the crowds, or not very many. And we're seeing protests outside of the arenas. How do you feel about the games right now? Was it too soon?
I don't think the Japanese government or the Japanese people would wish this situation on any other host city. Any decision to cancel, proceed, or postpone all have issues. I think, in a way, the only logical decisions have been made so far. I sort of wish personally that the organizers and the Japanese government agreed on having fans in the stands. There was just too much evidence that you could do it. You know, even in Japan, professional baseball had upwards of 10,000 people in the stands on game day. Last Saturday or two Saturdays ago, Team France and Team Japan had a basketball friendly in Okinawa, which was also under a state of emergency, and they had people in the stands. And of course, you know, in America, there's people in the stands in almost every professional event there is. Yeah. So there was a professional wrestling match in Tokyo Dome, I think, a few days ago. So, you know, I think there's enough signs that we could have done it, but obviously the organizers felt that the public sentiment was so negative and that they had to respect that. And I respect that, too, even though I had a lot of tickets.
I bet you did. Roy Toizawa is speaking with us from Tokyo. He is the author of 1964, The Greatest Year in the History of Japan, How the Tokyo Olympics Symbolized Japan's Miraculous Rise from the Ashes. Roy, thanks so much. And I guess enjoy the Olympics in your city from the TV screen.
I am, and I will. Thank you very much.